Amen. Thank you, Paul. And as we continue to move toward communion today at the Lord's table, we open God's Word and ask Him to feed us today from His Word. We look today at Luke chapter 19 in the Bible. Luke chapter 19. Before we read the scripture passage together today, I'll tell you the story to set the context. Jesus has just encountered Zacchaeus in a tree. And Zacchaeus had climbed a tree. Jesus had noticed him, had talked with him, had shared with him, had asked that he recognized that he needed to come to Zacchaeus' house. And so he goes to Zacchaeus' house. Then in Scripture, we see Jesus sharing a parable on his way in what we call the triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem. We often look at this particular passage during Good Friday and the Easter season, and we typically, during that time, focus on the context of Easter. And we tend to miss what is really in this passage that teaches us about some very important principles that we should apply as followers of Jesus on a daily basis, things that we must be aware of in order to live life at our best as we serve our King. And Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, and he will get to that point where he will look at Jerusalem and weep over that city as he sees a people without a shepherd. And so leading up to that point, in this story recorded for us here in Luke chapter 19, in the triumphal entry, Jesus approaches a couple of his followers, his disciples, and he tells them to go and get this colt, this young donkey. And Jesus is about to ride into the city of Jerusalem on this young colt, this donkey. And as you know, the people will spread palm branches, they will throw their coats down, they will make the way for the King who will very shortly after this end up on a cross. And so we read this morning this passage here in Luke chapter 19, God's Word, verse 28. When he had said this, or in other words, when he had finished this parable, when he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem, and it came to pass that he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, go into the village opposite you, where as you enter you will find a colt, or a young donkey, tied, on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you loosing it? Thus you shall say to him, because the Lord has need of it. Verse 32. So those who were sent went their way and found it just as he had said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said to them, why are you loosing the colt? And he said, and they said, the Lord has need of him. Then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then as he was drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Verse 39, and some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, teacher, rebuke your disciples. But he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. Can we pray together as we've read God's Word and begin to talk about this story? Father, thank you for your Word. It is a light unto our path. Thank you that you have given this passage to us, your people, this morning, and we've been able to read it. We pray, Holy Spirit, you would be our teacher and guide today as we look at your Word. We thank you, Father, that we are yours, you are ours, and as we walk with you today, may we continue this week and forever to practice these simple principles in your Word as we follow you. In Christ's name, amen and amen. So what do we see in this passage that would be principles for daily living for you and for me? And that, if you had to have a title this morning, would be the title. Just simply, principles for daily living. Well, here are these disciples going about their day following our Lord. Our Lord comes to them as they approach the city of Jerusalem, and he says to these two disciples, he says, go and get the colt. Obviously, this is a prophetic passage, and he tells them, go get the colt, and when you get the colt and untie the colt, the owner's probably going to say, why are you taking my colt? Now, you can imagine that in present day, right? If someone comes up into your yard and jumps in your vehicle, and you just happen to have the keys in it, and they start it, and you run out into the yard, and you say, what are you doing with my car? Well, you probably wouldn't even do that. You just get on 911 and call the police and say, somebody's taking my car. That might be what it looks like in present day. Well, they're taking this colt. And Jesus said, tell them that I have need of it. It's interesting because we're taught that God doesn't need anything we have. We're taught that in God's sovereignty, and rightly so, that God needs absolutely nothing. He stands on his own merit as God. And that's true. But in this passage, we actually see that Jesus says that you tell the owner of the colt that I have need of it. Here's the first principle that you and I should practice on a daily basis. And that is that we ought to understand as we walk through this life on a daily basis, encountering people, living for Christ and following Him. And here is the principle. God has need of what we have. God has need of what we have. And you might say, well, I don't know what I have that God would need. Well, this man and these disciples were unaware of something that Jesus needed. And so when you think about this passage, and when Jesus says on his way to Jerusalem to these men, go into the village opposite you, and when you enter, find the colt on which no one has ever sat, loose it and bring it here, because I have need of it. What does that mean, because I have need of it? Interesting, because in the Bible language, the word need here is a very strong word. It is the word that means that I want to furnish what is needed. So when God has need of something we have, it's only because He wants to furnish something else that is needed somewhere else or for someone else. So think about that for a moment. The question then becomes, what do I have, what do you have that the Lord needs? Think about that. Well, the first thing that He needs is you. He needs you. If you were to look back at the story of Zacchaeus and his encountering with Christ early on here at the beginning of chapter 19 in the scripture in the book of Luke, when Zacchaeus is talking with the Lord, here's what Jesus said in verse 9. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. The very first thing that Jesus always needs is you. He wants us. He wants us to be His disciple, His follower. He wants us to know Him in a very personal way, in a relationship that we call salvation, as a Christian, a follower of Jesus. And so, He says to these disciples, tell him I have need of it, because the Lord has need of it, to furnish what is needed. The word need there means a use of. It means the stronger sense of this Greek word means I require it. Now think about that deeper meaning of how the Lord has need of what we have. There are things that we have that the Lord requires. He requires our faith. He requires our service. He requires our resources. He requires some things in our life that sometimes we forget are already His. And so He says, tell them I have need of it. God has need of what we have. And on a daily basis, to live the best life that we can as followers of Jesus Christ, as disciples of Christ, we need to always be aware as we walk in this world that God has need of us. He has need of what we have. It is material for building His kingdom. Our ability to share an encouraging word, He has need of that. Our resources to plant churches around the world, like your church has been planted, He has need of that. Sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with others, He has need of that. There are things in your life that God requires of you. He has need of. But there's a second principle here that we must be aware of to be our very best every day for the Lord, and that is simply that God wants us to turn loose of what He needs. So walking through life, number one, I must be aware that God has need of what I have. In His sovereignty, He doesn't have to have it, but He has need of what I have because I'm His. And second of all, God wants me to turn loose of what He needs. Look at what He said in verse 32. We mentioned, He said, tell the owner of that colt that you are loosing, why you are loosing that colt. Tell him that the Lord has need of it. Now look at this big assumption that happens in Scripture, but I think it's a safe assumption. He says in verse 33, tell him that why you are loosing the colt. Verse 34, the Lord has need of him. Verse 35, then they brought him to Jesus. 34 says, tell him that I have need of it. Verse 35, then they brought him the colt to Jesus. What happened in between that time of verse 34 that we read in verse 35? There's a big assumption there that the owner said, take it. If the Lord has need of it, take it. Oh, you're in my car. Now, it may not work this way in your driveway. Oh, you're in my car. The Lord has need of it. Take it. Now, that may not work that way, right? The Lord has need of it. That's a pretty safe assumption in verse 35. They bring the colt to Jesus. It's interesting because what this assumption says to us points us back to the word here, to loose it. Jesus' instructions were to loose it. Interesting two words in our phraseology in English, but in the Bible language, it doesn't just mean to untie it, like you would think to loose something means to work it to the point where it's loose and you would untie it, but it literally means to set it free. It literally, in the deeper understanding of this passage, means to totally lose control over it. When God says, you have something that I need, in my sovereignty I don't need it, but in practicality on how you fit into the scope of reconciliation on this planet, you have something I need. You have some things I need. And I want you to untie, I want you to loose what I need. I want you to turn loose of what I need. I want you to lose total control of it and trust me with total control over it. That means when God leads you to share the gospel, you're giving Him control over what you say. You're giving Him control over the results. You turn loose of that. It means when you give your resources, you turn loose of that. You no longer have control of that. God has control of that to use for His kingdom building in whatever way He designs and whatever way He desires. to untie, to free it up, to separate from it, to lose control over it. Let go of it and let God have it. Boy, that sounds so easy, doesn't it? That includes my anxieties. God has need of that because He said, cast your cares on me, I care for you. In that simple way of living life every day, God has need of things. Not just things that we think are useful, but things that often we think are not useful to me or to God, like our cares. God says, throw them my way. Lose control of it. Give it to me. Untie it. Separate from it. Let go of it and let me have it. You see, when we let go of what God needs and God takes control of it and does something with it, it is miraculous. It is miraculous. When we handle things, 2 and 2 always equals 4. When God handles things, 2 and 2 can equal thousands. It's miraculous. So the principle is very simple. Number one, walking through life this week and in the weeks to come, recognize that you have some things that God has need of. And God wants you to turn loose of those things. Free them up for God. And here is this third principle we read in Scripture from verse 35 through 40. I'll not read all that, but the gist of that passage is this. God will use what we give Him for His glory. God will use what we give Him for His glory. They're drawing near to the Mount of Olives. I've been there. I've seen that descent from the Mount of Olives toward the walls into the city of Jerusalem. And as they make that descent here in verse 35, the multitude of disciples, many followers of Jesus on that hillside. I can just picture that hillside in my mind, in my eyes' view of being there before and seeing people lined on the Mount of Olives, beginning to praise God for the Savior, for the Messiah who had come. Multitude, it says, of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven, glory in the highest. All of a sudden, you begin to see God at work using what someone had that He needed. And when they turned it loose, God began to use it for His purpose and for His glory, to bring about His mission of reconciliation in a lost and dying world. How did that happen? What did that look like? Well, the results was that part of God using what we have when we turn loose of it means that God uses it for His glory in a way to encourage others. And often when we give and free up that which God needs from us, it is a blessing to those around us. And sometimes it's a blessing to those that we don't even know about, that we never even see. Sometimes even in our lifetime, we'll never understand how God used what we freed up for Him that He needed from us. We won't even know until we get to heaven the full measure of what some of that means. And I think that sometimes our giving makes Him very visible to others, like it did on the descent here on the Mount of Olives. Sometimes our giving simply results in people recognizing the goodness of God as they did on that hillside in that day. And sometimes it is just obedience on our part, and God is teaching us the simple concept of being obedient to Him. So as you walk, as you live your life, as you walk with Jesus this week and in the days to come, keep in mind as He talks to you, you walk with Him, that you have some things that He needs in His sovereignty. And He wants you to free those things up so that He can use them for His glory.